We're holding on Mem Aleph, Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom. There's all six lines over there, but yeah, the second line from the bottom. We've been discussing the whole matter of who has to shave with a, who is also to shave with a razor. Normally a Yid is also to shave his beard with a razor, and he's also to shave his payas. We said that would be a razor or anything else. And of course, a nazir is also to shave his head with a razor. And even if he uses other things, then he's also over on a lois aseh, as we've been learning the last couple of days. On the other hand, we have that a nazir when he becomes tamei or when he finishes his nazirus, has a mitzvah to shave his hair with a razor, and so does Metzorah, and so did we said the Levium in Parshas Va'aloiska when they were first being chosen instead of the Bechorim. So we've been discussing that whole point these last couple of blocks, the ins and outs of what the deal is as far as how we know that each of them needs to use a razor, particularly focusing on the Metzorah, since the Pasuk doesn't say a razor in his connection. In this connection, we mentioned a machloikas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about when it comes to shaving the beard, is a person chayav only if he uses a razor, the Chachamim say, or Rabbi Eliezer says even if he removes the hair in other ways, for example, a malkit or a hitni, which are various other kinds of things, tweezers or a penknife or a plane or what have you. Anyway, in the course of the sugya, also we've been dealing with the question of why it says by the mitzvah the words that he has to shave roshoy and zikonoy, his head and his head and his beard. If the pasuk anyway says that's called saora yigaleach, but he has to shave all his hair, then why mention dafka those? And so we were discussing, because when it comes to his hair, he's shaving. When it comes to the hair of his head, he's shaving his payas. And nevertheless, the point is that it's mutter. And even if he's a nazir who's not allowed to shave, and even if he's a kohen who has the extra mitzvah saseh not to shave his payas, and the same thing with the similarly with the beard, even though there's an esse, even though there's a lois esse not to shave the beard in the case of a kohen, an esse as well. Nevertheless, for mitzvah, it overrides that. But we've been discussing according to the chachamim and according to Rabbi Eliezer. So now, one thing we had in the course of the sugya, we discussed that the fact that normally we say esa doicha loisa seh, that we often say that if you have we often say that esa doicha loisa seh, if you have, classic example, as Gemara is going to bring now, is to lie in the tzitzis. If you have a linen garment and you have to put tchelas on it, where by definition tchelas is made out of wool, so then you're going to have shatnez. So the esse of tzitzis is doicha and tchelas is doicha the lois esse of shatnez. What we've been discussing, we mentioned that point came up during the sugya, and we said that according to the chachamim, in fact, we are learning that from. The fact that the shaving of a mitzvah is doicha the isra of akafas harosh, so he learned it from the word, so instead of learning it from the word roshay like the chachamim did, he learned it from the fact that a nazir who's a mitzvah uses a razor, and therefore that an esser doicha lois esser, and therefore he's saying that you don't need to learn it from here, you have a different source for that concept. So now, Rabbi Eliezer, the osi esser, the doicha lois esser menolei. So where does Rabbi Eliezer, in that case, know? He seems to be taking it as a given that that an esse is doicha lois esse, and therefore he's saying by a nazir, therefore he's saying by a mitzvah, even though he's a nazir, he's still able to do that, even though he's over on the lav of shaving his hair. We said, okay, he may not be over on the lav of shaving his payas, because we could say hakafas kolorosh shema hakafa, we could say, or lo shema hakafa, we could say that the issue of shaving his payas is only when he shaves them and leaves the rest of his hair alone, not like in this case where he shaves his entire head. So therefore, fine, he's not over on the lois aser of lois akifu, but nevertheless, as a mitzvah, he has an eser to grow his hair. He has a lois aser rather not to shave his hair. On the other hand, as a mitzvah, he has an eser to shave his hair, and we're saying that eser doicha lois aser. So where does Rabbi Eliezer know that from? That he's taking that as a given, and then saying therefore that he doesn't need the word roshoy to teach us that concept. That's one way that Tosfos has of understanding the question. The other way of understanding the question is that that since Rebbe Eliezer, we said, we discussed in the sugya before, and we're going to have again later on in the Masechta when we get back to these matters of the Kohen shaving and talking about the whole matter of Metzora again, where Rebbe Eliezer holds that the word Zekonai is teaching us that even a Kohen, that even a Kohen who's a Metzora also shaves his beard, even though again by a Kohen you have not only the loisah said not to shave his beard, which applies to all Jews, but you also have the Esser of Kedoshim teeth. So now, given that then, so how does Rebbe Eliezer know that in that case, the Esser can be Deucha, Loisah, and an Esser, instead of saying that Zekonai is referring to a regular Metzora who's not a Kohen, where there you only have an Esser and a Loisah. So obviously, therefore, in other words, the assumption must be that there's someplace else from where he gets that Esser, Deucha, Loisah, and the question of where that is. So the Gemara answers Yalif Migdilim. Rabbi Eliezer learns it from Gdilim, from when the pasuk says Gdilim Tasaloch, you should make for yourself tittis, and the pasuk right before that says that you're not allowed to wear shatnez. And from that smichus, we learn that the mitzvah of tittis overrides kilayim. So the Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, when the pasuk says lois silver shatnez, when the pasuk says you should not wear shatnez, and then it continues Gdilim Tasaloch. So it means hog dilim tassel hamehem. So the implication is, however, you should not wear shatnez. However, you should goes about add the words semer fishdim yachdav, as the pasuk continues, wool and linen together, hog dilim tassel hamehem. But the implication is that you can make yourself tzitzis from them. And in fact, if you're wearing tchelas, you have to make tzitzis from them, because tchelas can't be anything else other than wool. And so if you have a linen garment, of necessity, you're going to have to put wool and tzitzis on it. So we see from that that Esa Docha Lois Esa. Tosfos points out then, okay, so the Gemara evidently is saying over here that according to the Chachamim, you don't need that pasuk. You have a different source of it, and in fact, we learned in Yevamos some time back that in fact the Gemara learns it. The Gemara mentions that the Chachamim learn it in a different way. Again, one thing is, we've said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, a regular Metzora is not necessarily being over on the regular Isser of shaving his payas, because he's shaving his entire head, and he would hold that shaving the hair, payas and all, is not included in the lab. Only according to the Chachamim would we say that. And therefore, according to them, the Metzora, in fact, is being over on a loisase when he's shaving his hair and his payas, and therefore they're able to learn Eser Docha Loisase from him. By the way, I mean, nowadays that we don't have tchelas, the din in fact becomes that if you're going to wear a linen garment, you would have to put linen tzitzis on it. Because you don't have the heter, as we learned earlier in the sugya, we said Rish Lakish had set a rule: when you have an esser opposing a lois esser, if you're able to be mekayim in both of them, you have to do that. And in the case of a linen garment, you can fulfill the mitzvah with linen tzitzis. Therefore, you have no license to use wool tzitzis. And in fact, you have on top of that, there's a gzeira d'rabbanan that you shouldn't, even if conceivably you could, because what if you wear it at night? And then you're over on the issue of Kilayim, and you're not accomplishing the mitzvah of tzitzis at that point. Okay. The Gemara continues. Omamar. Now we said going back to the Mishnah now. Omamar b'chulam shabdil choshloi v'tar. We said that this was not our Mishnah, but rather a Mishnah from Negoyim that we quoted earlier. When we started the whole sugya by saying that there are three groups of people who had to shave, and it was a mitzvah to do that, the Nazir, the Metzora, and the Levium. And the Mishnah had said that all of them, if they did not use a tar, Oshashir, Shtei Saris, or if they left over two or more hairs unshaven, Loi Osuv, Loi Klum, then what they did doesn't count for anything, meaning they haven't accomplished the mitzvah of Giluach, because they left over two hairs. So the Gemara says, Omer of Acha, Bredir of Ika, Zoyse Meres, Rubik Kuloi Daraisa, Midaraisa. That teaches us that we see from that, that we're saying that in this case, if they leave over even two hairs, then they haven't accomplished the mitzvah. That shows that ordinarily, in most cases, Daraisa, we would say Rubik Kuloi, that when you have the majority of something, is considered like all of it. because mimai, and how do we see that? Since the Pasuk makes a point of mentioning by the Nazir that on the seventh day he should shave, this is talking about a Nazir Tomei, we're talking about that he becomes Tomei and he has to become Tahor from Tumas Nes, and then he shaves his hair, and the Pasuk makes a point of mentioning on the seventh day he should shave his hair, and those are extra words, so that teaches us that it has to be a complete shaving. So therefore we can see, so that shows that only here do you require all of it. Were it not for that, we would say that we would apply the usual rule of rubei kikulei, and we would have said that as long as he shaves the majority of his head, it would have been good enough. But because we have those extra words in the pasuk, teaches us that he can't even leave over two hairs. In fact, Agos Ma'arav Rantzburg points out there's at least one other place in the Torah where we see that that's makbid on kuloi. In other words, that's the point. In other words, when we say rubei kikulei, then usually we would say rubei kikulei, but not in this case. One point is Tosfos says a nafkamina of it is, for example, as far as a person shaving his beard. So for example, really, if there's five corners of the beard that are also to shave. So now we're saying if a person were to shave an amount of hair that can be held by scissors, rather over there, you don't even have the rule of rubei kikulei. Even if a person shaves off with a razor, or according to Rabbi Eliezer, with a malkut or a hitni, one or two hairs, or according to Rabbi Eliezer, one hair, then already he'd be chayav. So there, you don't even need rubei. So therefore, what we're talking about in other places in Torah. There are certain other places in Torah. And in fact, Rabbeinu Azriel and other Rishonim say that is what we are in fact talking about, the corner of the beard. That no, it wouldn't be the case if a person would be chayev for one or two hairs. We'd be talking about he'd be chayev only if he shaves off the majority of any one of those corners. So the Gemara continues. So Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina asks on that, isn't this pasuk Yigalchenu talking about specifically a Nazir Tomei? Whereas the Mishnah that we were quoting from the Goyim is talking about a Nazir Tahor, because after all that, those words by Yemashvi Yigalchenu have to be talking about a Nazir Tomei, a Nazir Tahor. There's no 7 days over there. So the Mishnah that we quoted before is saying that that we're talking about a Nazir Tahor. So the Gemara continues, Machaku Alaba Ma'arava, they laughed about that in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, when they heard that question, Bnei Yeshiva, when they heard that question, they laughed at it, as if to say that that's a silly question. They said, what's the difference? Mechdi Nazir Tomei de Batan Nolan. After all, when it comes to a Nazir Tomei Bechlal, how do we know that he has to use a razor? Mi Nazir Tahor, Yalif, we're learning it only from a Nazir Tahor anyway, because by Nazir Tahor it says, we learned before, because it says the expression Tar lo yava aroshad malois hayomim, that a razor shouldn't pass over his head until the days are completed, implying that when the days are completed, then a razor should pass over his head. So therefore, from there is where we learn that a Nazir Tomei also shaves with a razor. So then, in that case, so what's the question that this pasuk is talking about a Nazir Tomei? Big deal. Lacey Nazir Tahor Galilach from Nazir Tomei. You can do the other way around also. The Nazir Tahor can learn from the Nazir Tomei. Ma Tomei Kishir Shte Cyrus Vlay Klumavad. Just like the Tomei, if he leaves over two hairs, hasn't accomplished anything. Hachanami Kishir Shte Cyrus Vlay Klumavad. The same way if the Nazir Tahor leaves over two hairs, then he hasn't accomplished anything. It's not a question the fact that this pasuk says by Nazir Tomei, because we can learn one from the other. Tosfos points out, by the way, that there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions you have a number of stock phrases that you have throughout Shas. For example, Amri b'ma'arava, or Machaku Allah b'ma'arava, or different other expressions like that, not just Narova. You have other expressions involving the Chacham of Bavel as well, where the Gemara says each of those refers to, where it says Amri Bei Rav, for example, and lots of other examples. Anyway, each of them, the Gemara says, refers to one particular Amora where he would use that lashon. Over there, the Gemara says that Mechakwa, Lava Ma'arava, actually refers to Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina. And yet here we have that Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina made the statement, and the Mechakwa, Lava Ma'arava, is on his own statement. Implying, in other words, that, implying that over here, it must be somebody else, so this must be an exception to the rule, that Mechakwa, Lava Ma'arava, means that he's the one who laughed at it, because he wouldn't be laughing at his own statement, so this must be an exception to that rule. And it means that somebody else among the Chachamim asked that. I think I once saw some possibility that maybe it's possible there were two Rav Yosi Rav Chaninas, and in that case, it could be the second one asked on the first one. Okay. The Gemara continues. Boyabai. Nozir should gilach the sheer shtei saris. Suppose a nozir shaved and he left over two hairs. He didn't do a good job, but he left over two hairs. Now what happens is that the rest of his hair regrew because of a gilchon, and then he went and shaved them. So now he only shaved those two hairs. Mahu, so what would be the din? Mi ma'akvi oloi, is that ma'akev or not? When we say ma'akev, really, I mean, we should clarify, according to the Chachamim later on in the Perek, strictly speaking, if he never shaves at all, his nazirus is still over once he brings his korbanos, but in other words, he has a mitzvah of diluach. And the mitzvah of Giluach, so the question would be whether he's yotze the mitzvah of Giluach with that. So Tosfos learns it that way, that in other words, we're talking about the second time around he shaved only those two hairs. There's an explanation from Rabbeinu Azriel that says that actually Abaye is wondering maybe once he left over two hairs, then no matter what he does afterwards, even if he shaves everything, or the whole hair, including those two hairs, is he not going to be yotze the mitzvah anymore? Would he still be yotze? No, he goes on to say that that would only be if he, only if he shaved again within the 30 days, if he waited 30 days, there's no question that he would be yotze again. So Abaya leaves open so the question is left open. Boy Rava, now Rava has a similar question. Nozir should gilach the yiniach shtei sairis. Suppose a nozir shaved and left over two hairs. The gilach achas mehen v'noshra achas. Now, afterwards, he went and shaved one of those, one of those remaining hairs, v'noshra achas, and then the second one fell off before he had a chance to save. So mahu, what is the din? Is he yotze? So if he had shaved the rest of his head except for those two hairs, and then that day or the next day or whatever he shaved those two hairs, no question he'd be yotze. But now that he didn't shave off the two hairs, maybe shaving one hair is not considered giluach. Or maybe the fact is the point is that now he has no hair anymore, so therefore he was in fact in the end yotze the mitzvah. Even though he didn't actually shave off the second hair. So the Gemara says, Omalei Rav Acha Medifti L'Ravina, Gilach Saira Saira Kamibayla L'Rava. What is Rava asking the question if he's shaving the hairs one at a time? As long as now he's coming to shave and there are two hairs left, and then when he starts the second shaving, there are two hairs. So what's the problem? Of course he's yotze. The fact is there were left enough for there was left enough for shiur giluach, and he shaved it. So of course he'd be yotze. So ela ema, rather you have to say the question would be the other way around. Noshra achas v'gilach achas mahu. What if having left over two hairs, one of them fell out? And then, before he comes to shave the remaining two hairs, one of them falls out, and now there's only one left to shave. So now the question is there a mitzvah of giluach? Because again, giluach is going to require at least two hairs, and now when it comes to do the second giluach, there's only one hair. So mahu, now what would be the din? Omale, so Ravina answers, giluach in time, seir in time. The answer is, there's no shaving, there's no hair. So what does that mean? The Gemara says, Iseir ain't time, giluach yeshpan. What do you mean? If there's no hair, then there is giluach over here. It means he's accomplished the mitzvah of giluach. So hachikama, right, what Ravina means to say, afa pisha seir ain't time, even though there is no hair here, mitzvah giluach ain't time, nevertheless, there is no mitzvah of giluach over here because he left over only two hairs, and then the second time around, he shaved only one hair because the other one fell out before he had a chance to shave it. So at least in the previous case where there were two hairs available at the time, so then you can say when he comes to shave those two hairs, he's going to accomplish the mitzvah of giluach, and then if one of them falls out before he actually has a chance to get to it with the razor, then fine. At least when he started the giluach, there was a giluach, there was the shear of giluach going on. But here there's not, because here, but here there's not, because here there's only one hair left when it comes to do the giluach. Therefore, he has not accomplished the mitzvah of giluach. So again, according to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter. His nazirus is still over. He just has failed to fulfill the mitzvah, according to the opinion that we're going to have later on in the parak, that tiglachas ma'akevus, that in fact, if he doesn't shave, then it's still ma'akev, and he still can't drink wine and do the other things that are also for another, then yes, those are going to be still off limits to him until he does a giluach the way he's supposed to. Okay. Mishnah says, nazir choifef umafaspis. A nazir is allowed to rub his hair. So for example, shampoo it or whatever, because umafaspis, and he can comb his hair, or not comb, actually, soda, because the next one is combing. Umafaspis means you have to separate his hairs with his hands. So he's not using a comb, he's just running his fingers through his hair. So he's allowed to do that. Avalois soda. But he's not allowed to use a comb on his hair, as we're going to see in the Gemara, because it's going to pull out hair, and he actually has intention to pull out hair. So the Gemara says, "Choyfe from a fastus mani Reb Shimoni." Now, who is it that would allow him to? Do choyfe from a fastus? That would evidently be appointed Reb Shimon. We know in Hilchos Shabbos that Reb Shimon says Dovah She'en Meskaven is Mutter. For example, the classic case you have in Hilchos Shabbos, a person is dragging a bench. It's not particularly heavy, so it's not inevitable that he's going to dig up dirt. So even if he digs up dirt, then it doesn't matter because it was Dovah She'en Meskaven. And therefore Reb Shimon allows it. So now that concept of Dovah She'en Meskaven is that concept of Dovah She'en Meskaven applies in other areas of halacha other than Hilchos Shabbos, and here we have an example of it of Hilchos Nazirus. So evidently then we're saying that why is he allowed to be choifer from a faspis? Why is he allowed to rub his hair or to pour his hair with his fingers? Is because it's not inevitable that it's Adam is scavenging. He's not intending to pull out hair, and it's not inevitable that he will. Well, avaloi sodik. But then, when the Mishnah continues that he's not allowed to, when it continues that he's not allowed to comb his hair, asan the rabbanon. That seems to be according to the rabbanon, because not necessarily we're not assuming, in other words, that sodik is automatically going to pull out hair. It might not. So in that case, we seem to be saying that Dovah She'en Meskaven is also. So what's going on over here? If we assume that Sodic is not inevitably going to pull out hair, then that seems to be according to the Chachamim. So what is it? Reishit Reb Shimon v'Sefer Rabbanan? Do we have in all one Mishnah here the beginning like Reb Shimon and the end like the Chachamim? The answer is, So Rabbah says, no, the whole Mishnah is like Reb Shimon. The fact is, when a person is combing his hair, he intends to pull out loose hairs So it would be Dover Hamiskaven, and therefore it would be also even according to Rav Shimon, because of course even Rav Shimon agrees that if you intend to do something, then it is going to be doing a different also. Now that's according to Tosfos. The Rosh over here and Rashi elsewhere and Shabbos and in other places have a different explanation, that the reason is because when he uses a comb, it's going to be psik reisha. It's going to be psik reisha because a comb inevitably is going to pull out some loose hairs. There's a Rivosh that discusses this in one of his Chuvas, that you actually need both reasons. You could have a case, let's say, for example, where a person doesn't have any loose hairs, and Rabbah is telling us the fact that a person is only going to comb when he does have loose hairs. And there's also a point, for example, that the Aruch has a famous explanation, which the Poskim bring, although they don't all accept it, that there's a concept called psik reisha deloy nichale. You can have something which is a psik reisha, but he doesn't want that result. And then the Aruch holds that's not considered a psik reisha. Psik reisha would only be, the Aruch learns, only if he doesn't care one way or the other. So, in fact, Tosfos brings that elsewhere and says that that's the point over here. So when it says he wants to remove nimin middle dollars, the loose hairs, it means, in other words, that it's something, if he removes them, then good. It makes him look nicer, and therefore that would be considered a psik reisha. Had it been the case that removing loose hairs is not something that he wants, then the Aruch would say that maybe in fact it would be allowed over here. And there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos that explains that there can be a difference whether he intends to remove hair and versus he doesn't intend to. Even if he doesn't intend to, it's still psik reisha. That's relevant as far as Hilchos Shabbos, because we have, as far as brushing or combing your hair, there's a difference. The Magen Avraham draws a difference between a hard comb or brush and a soft one, which is why you have nowadays when girls brush their hair on Shabbos, they're careful to use a soft brush because a hard one is almost inevitably going to pull out hairs, and therefore it's going to be psik reisha. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Lo Yochov Ba Adam Mishum Asheres Es Aseir. Rabbi Shmuel says that a nazir is not allowed to rub his hair with adama. Literally, adama means earth. So it means some kind of earth that had medicinal uses, that was used as shampoo or something. Maybe, I guess, they would mix it with water or something. So he says, your nazir is not allowed to rub his hair with that, but mishum asheres es aseir, because it causes hair to fall out. Tosfos discusses is Rabbi Shmuel arguing with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama had said that you allowed locho nazir choifef, and he hadn't specified. So maybe Rabbi Shmuel is agreeing with that. And then there are different other Rishonim who say that not. The Rambam seems to understand that Rabbi Shmuel is just adding a detail that the Tanakhama had left out. So the Gemara says he bought him. Mitnei shehi masheres seyotnan. What does Rabbi Shmuel mean? Does he mean because this earth causes the hair to fall out, meaning any kind of earth that he uses is going to cause hair to fall out? Or maybe he means because there is some that makes the hair fall out. In other words, we would say that the Chachamim made it zera not to use any, because you might end up using the kind that makes it fall out. So he must have a mind after a minute. Well, what's the practical difference? So that would be kagundi adam of the loy master. If there is a type of earth that does not make hair fall out. If you say the problem is that it makes hair fall out, so in other words, the problem is only a type that is known to make hair fall out, well, then if we know that this particular kind of earth does not have that property, then it would be mutter. But if you say the problem is because of one that makes the hair fall out, then then you can't use any midrabanan, because you might end up using the kind that does. So what would be the deal? So the Gemara says, we have to leave the question open. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would come out, practically speaking, you can't use any kind because it might be the kind that makes it fall out. However, maybe not necessarily would he chayiv malchus because he could always claim that this is the kind that this is the kind that doesn't make hair fall out. And again, the various rishonim over here, the Rosh and other rishonim discuss it's psik reisha, or is it that Rabbi Shmuel holds double shenim miskaven is aser and so forth. Okay, Mishnah continues. Nozer shoyes shoyse yayin kol hayom. If a nozer is drinking wine all day, we quoted this earlier in the Masechta. Actually, we didn't. We quoted other similar things. Anyway, he's going to be chayev only one. Malchus. Omrulay al tishta. But if they keep on telling him before every revius, don't drink. Ushoisa, and he goes and drinks anyway. So they're giving him asra individually for each revius. Chayev achas achas. Then he's going to be chayev individually for each one. In general, you have, of course, the rule that hasra has to be toched a dibur of the action. So here it has to be that each hasra is toched a dibur. And we have talked about this before, not specifically in connection with wine, but for example, in connection with the other dinim that a nazir is also in. So we said Rashi elsewhere discusses that the reason is because that's Rashi Tokhid Dibur, and it's not Tokhid Dibur of the later Revius, and a different reason the reason is because he can claim that he forgot it. But if they give him individual Asra, then he's chayev for each one. And each one really it would have to be as usual with Asra, he would have to say Alpha PK, nevertheless, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. Similarly, continues the Mishnah. If he's going the whole day and shaving his hair, so he's only going to be chayev. He's only going to be chayev for one shaving. He's only going to be chayev one malchus. Al tigaleach. But if they tell him, don't shave, and he's still continuing to shave, then he's going to be chayiv for each individual act of shaving. Similarly, as far as tumah, hoya metamal mason kol hayom, if he was becoming tamei for mason the whole day, ain't chayiv alachas, and he's chayiv only one malchus, omrulay al tatame, if they keep on telling him, don't become tamei, hoya metame, who metame, and he's nevertheless becoming tamei, chayiv alachas alachas, and he's chayiv individually for each one. Now, when it comes to wine, it comes to shaving, it's easy enough to understand. When it comes to tumah, though, that's what the Gemara is going to focus on, because on the face of it, once he's tamei already. How can he become more tamei such that we can say that they're giving him asra, don't become tamei? What do you mean? He's already tamei. So that's the Gemara is going to take up that point. It's fine. So we have a discussion of Amiroi. Omer Rabba Omer Avuna. Mikra Mole Dibra Kosim. The Pasuk clearly says, Lord Yitam. The pasuk says about a nazir that he's not allowed to become tamei. In the previous pasuk, shu omer lo yavoi, but then in the previous pasuk it says al nefesh meis lo yavoi. You should not come into a place where there is a dead body. So if he comes in there, he becomes tamei. So what is that adding to us? So it means says Rabba laz hiroy ala tumah laz hiroy ala bia. It means it's coming to tell him two separate lavim, one that he shouldn't be tamei, and one that he shouldn't come into such a place. So therefore, in other words, if he walks into an oil mess, then he's actually being over on two isurim. He became tamei, of course, the moment he walked in. Therefore, he's over on lo yatama. He's also over on lo yabai because he wasn't supposed to go in there in the first place. And then, in other words, if they gave him asura for both of those things, then he's going to get double. Then he's going to get double malchus. So the Mefarish says even more than that. If he was already tamei, and then later on he went into an oil mess, even though he's already tamei, nevertheless he's still being over on lo yavoi because he's still coming into an oil mess, even though he's already tamei, it doesn't make a difference. Avol tumah v'tumah lo. But says Rabba, but if he was tamei by touching a dead body, and then while he's touching that, he touched another one lo, then we would not say that. We would not say that he gets double malchus because he's already touching one mess. Adding another mess is not adding anything. So now we're going to ask for more Mishnah. That we said, if we say, we could tell him Alta Tame, Alta Tame, he's going to be getting Malkus. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara is soon going to ask on that. So for Rav Yosef Omar, so now that was Rabba in the name of Rav Huna saying that. Rav Yosef Omar, but Rav Yosef says, Harley Kim, I swear in Hashem's name, Omar Rav Huna, feel a tum of a tumah. That Rav Huna had actually said that a nazir would get malchus even if there was tumah and then another tumah. So even if he was touching one body and then meanwhile he touched another body. All over the place in Shas, Rav Yosef often does that. He says the word Harlekim, but you often have the Chachamim would swear that their Rebbe had said such and such. We even have a Gemara. I think we had it in the Darim. It's also in Shavuos where one of the Amuroyim says to his Talmidim that's not considered a Shavuos Shav because that's considered more like a Shavuos Oynas, which we learned in the Darim that Nidre Oynas are Motu, and similarly Shavuos Oynas because you genuinely believe that this is what your Rebbe said. So therefore, that's not considered a Shavuos Shav, even if it turns out afterward that he said differently. So Rav Yosef says, where is my proof from that? The Amar Rav Huna, because we see that Rav Huna said, Nazir Shaya Omid Beveis HaKvaris, if a Nazir is standing in a cemetery, and he's already Tomei, but Shitu Loi Meso Yemes Acher, and they handed him his own mess, so a relative of his, where again, you know, a Nazir is also to become a Nazir, unlike a regular Kohen, is not allowed to become Tomei for his relatives. A Nazir is like a Kohen Gadol in that sense. He can't even become Tomei for his relatives. So if they handed him his own mess, mess acher, or a different mess, so even though we say the word mess, it doesn't mean and another one, it means that they gave him or a different one. In fact, Tosfos brings the gears to oy mess acher. Anyway. The Noga boy, and he touches that mess, Chayim. Well, then he's going to be Chayim, Malkus, if they gave him Hasra. Now, you have to ask, am I? Why would he be Chayim? From the time of the Koyim, once he's standing in the Beis HaKvaris, he's already Tomei. Doesn't that mean, therefore, that Rav Huna necessarily said his din, even when he's already Tomei, and then he becomes Tomei again, he's going to be Chayim double Malkus? So what are you telling me, Rabba, that only in the case where he, that only in the case, where he, where there's Tumah and Bia, which are two separate names of Isser, is he going to be Chayav Malkus? Again, to use Tosfos' example, that if he went into a house with a mess, then he's right away over on both, or like Rashi said, or like the Mefarish says, that if he was already Tumah and then went into an oil mess, you see from what Rav Huna says, in the case of the Nazir standing in the cemetery, that already he's Chayav a second one, even though there's no Bia over there, it's just a second Tumah, and nevertheless, you're still saying he's Chayim. So the Gemara says, Esra Abaya. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, in that case, if you're understanding Rav Huna that way, then I have a contradiction for you. A Braisa says, Koyen Shoyla Nes Munach Oksekoy, if a Koyen had a mess lying on his shoulder, and necessarily Tosfos says we have to be talking about a Kohen Gadol over here, because after all, Tosfos has a girsa that Tosfos rather has the girsa nozel showing mess munach loyak seifoy instead of Kohen. Tosfos has the girsa nozel. If you're gonna say that's a Kohen, then necessarily it would have to be a Kohen Gadol because of course a Kohen Hadyet is allowed to become Tomei mess for his. For his relative. Koyin or Nazir, in the case maybe, Shoyal a mess munachak sefer, who had a mess lying on his shoulder, and they handed him his own mace, one of his relatives, or a different mess, the Nogaboy, and he touched him, Yocho Yehe Chayev, you would think that he should be Chayev Malkus for becoming Tomei, Tamad Lomov, Lo Yechalo. Therefore, by the Kohen, or by the Kohen Gadol, the pasuk says v'lo yichalo, they should not profane. Tosfos and the Rosh rather have the girsa, the word lahechaloi, which is where the pasuk v'lo yichalo that the Gemara is bringing over here is talking about a different thing. That pasuk v'lo yichalo is a few pesukim later in Parshas Emor. That's talking about the fact that a Kohen Gadol continues to do the avoda even when one of his relatives has died. That's not really relevant to our sugya, so therefore instead they have the word lahechaloi, which is a few psukim earlier, which is talking about tumas nes. Anyway, the point is that what does it mean, v'loyechalol or lahechaloi, v'misha ene mecholol? That din would apply only to somebody who's not already profaned, yotzezesh or mecholol v'oymed, as opposed to this case over here, where the Kohen Gadol or the Nazir is, depending what dirsa we follow, is already tamei. If we say that the Braisa was referring to a Kohen Gadol, then we're going to have later on, that the Gemara is going to point out, in a couple of blocks, the Gemara is going to point out that we learn a greater shava between them to apply the din of one to the other. We're going to have that in the next paragraph, actually. If the Braisa, to begin with, is talking about a Nazir, okay, well, then it's talking about a Nazir. Whatever the case, the point is, the Braisa is clearly saying that if he was already mechulal, if he's already profane, then he's not getting malchus again. So what are you telling me Rabbi Yosef, that if he's standing in a base of kvaris and then they give him another mess, he's going to be chayev, based on what we're saying over here? He's already carrying a mess and they give him another mess. The Braisa is saying he's not chayev. Amalei, sort of Yosef answers, Kikshalach Masnissim. Nu, you're bringing a Braisa. Shouldn't you consider that the Orm Mishnah is a question on you? Ditanan, where Orm Mishnah said, Hoy Matamala Mason Koloyem and Echai Malachas, that if the Nazir is becoming Tomei Mess all day, then he's Chayv only one. That he's chayv only one malchus. Omrulei al tatame. But if they tell him over and over, don't become tame. Vuhumatame. Omrulei al tatame. Chayv akolachas fach. Then he's chayv individually for each one. Ba'amai homatame the koyin. Now you would have to ask isn't he already tame anyway? So your Braisa Abaya is saying that once he's Tomei, he can't become more Tomei, therefore there's no extra Malchus. Here you have, from our Mishnah, it seems to be that not. Ela Kasha Hadadi. So don't you seem to have a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa? And in that case, if you have a Mishnah versus a Braisa, the Braisa always, the Mishnah always wins out. So that would support my point. You have a Braisa, but the Braisa is obviously contradicted by the Mishnah, and therefore you'd have to ignore that, and therefore you're left with my point that yes, he's becoming Tomei over and over, he's still going to be Chayim. So not like Rabba, but rather like my position, Rabbi Yosef. But Abaya gives an answer to answer Rabbi Yosef, which actually, Tosfos learned that this next line, that this loikasha is actually going to be Abaya's answer to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Rosh has a different understanding of it, which is that Rabbi Yosef himself is going to point out that there's a way of reconciling the Mishnah and the Braisa. But he would say only I hold of that. Rabba evidently doesn't, and therefore you still have the question on Rabba. So in any case, so somebody answers, either Abaya according to Tosfos or Rabbi Yosef himself according to the Rosh, answers, Moitasha kan b'chiburin, kan shaloi b'chiburin. It depends whether he's still attached to the Tumah, whether he's still touching the original Tumah or not. Namely, the Braisa that's talking about that he only gets one time Malkus is talking about b'chiburin, that he's still touching the first mess when he touches the second mess. So now, touching the second mess doesn't add any more trouble. Kan, shaloi b'chiburin, whereas on Mishnah is talking about where he touched the second mess after he stopped touching the first mess, and then they gave him another mess, and he touched that. So now he's not the whole of the omen, even though it's true that he is, of course, already tame. He's not going to become more tame by this. But nevertheless, you still have to a certain extent, but now when he's touching new tumah, then you have an additional degree of tumah that you didn't have before. Namely, what happens is like this: as far as himself, he's going to be tummy for 7 days regardless. But what if somebody else touches him? Now you have like this: if he himself is still touching the mess, and then somebody else touches him, then that other person is going to be tummy tumas shiva. That other person is going to be fully tumas mess, but is going to be fully tummy mess for 7 days. But if he lets go of the mess and then somebody touches him, then that other person is going to be tummy only tumas erev. Is going to be tummy only for the day. He's going to need to go to the mikveh. He's going to need head of shemesh, and then that's it. He's tummy. Tosfos brings from Gemara and Avodah Zarah that discusses this based on Psukim and based on something that brings over there, something that Yosef and Yezer from the first of the Zugos had said. So therefore, so it's true as far as the Nazir himself, as far as the Tomei Mess himself, it's not going to make a difference whether he's touching the mess or not. But it does make a difference as far as somebody else who touches him, and therefore that's reason enough to say that he should be getting Malkus. Well, the Gemara asks for Tumah b'Chibur and Daraisa. So you're telling me then that the Rosh points out that we would have like this. If we say that this loikasha is part of is Reb Yosef's statement rather than like Tosfos is learning that it's a biased statement, which the Rosh has some questions on that, then it would mean, in other words, that Rava holds there's never a case where a person can be getting extra malchus for becoming Tomei. The only way would be if there was Tumah as well as Bia. So he would have to understand our Mishnah in that way. But if there was Tumah of a Tumah, he would never get malchus. Rabbi Yosef would be saying there is a case where he can be getting extra malchus even with Tumah of a Tumah, namely when you make the distinction with Chiburin versus not Chiburin. So you want to ask the Tumah b'Chiburin Daraisa? Are you telling me then that this concept of Tumah b'Chiburin is Daraisa to the extent that a person can be getting extra malchus for it? Ha Amar Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef Amar Rabbi Yannai Loi Amar Tumah b'Chiburin Ela L'Tumah b'Kodshim. This whole concept of Tumah b'Chiburin only applies as far as Tumah and Kodshim. Meaning that then we say if Reuven is touching a mess, and while he's touching the mess, Shimon touches him, then we're saying that Shimon becomes Tomei for 7 days. That whole concept is only as far as Truma and Kodshim. So before he eats Truma and Kodshim, he's going to have to go through the whole process of becoming Tomer. Avol Nazir v'Oisa Pesach. But when it comes to a Nazir who would have to bring Korbanos if he's Tomei, and you can't, the Chachamim, as usual, we can't have a case where the Chachamim, where you can't have a case where Daraisa, he shouldn't have to bring Korbanos, and the Rabbanon he does, because that would be Chulin Ba'azara, and because you'd have the whole problem, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, about what he does with his Chatas. Or in the case of a Nazir Tomei, actually, we're talking about an Oshem as well. So by a Nazir, the Oisa Pesach, or a person who's going to make a Korban Pesach, and then if we tell him he's Tomei for 7 days, he's going to miss bringing the Korban Pesach, and he's going to have to bring Pesach Sheni. So Loi, there we don't say that din of Chiburim. So we just consider them Tomei Tumas Erev. They just need to go to the mikveh and have head of Shemesh. So, in other words, the point is, when it comes to a Nazir, again, you have Chulin Ba'azara, and when it comes to Pesach, you have, after all, missing the Chulin Pesach involves Kores. Okay, if we were to say he's Tomei, then he's not Chayiv Kores, he'd bring Pesach Sheni, but still, given that Pesach involves Kores, then the Chachamim don't want to impose the Zera in a case like that. Only when it comes to Truma and Kodshim, we're eating them as a mitzvah saseh, so fine, you can't do a mitzvah saseh, big deal. So therefore, Minat Torah, you wouldn't have the concept that there could be a difference between different purposes, between Truma of a Kodshim versus Nazir of Oisa Pesach. The fact that we make that distinction implies that this whole concept of Chiburin is Dirabanan. Well, if it's Dirabanan, then what are you telling me? He's getting extra Malchus. So, if you're going to tell me the whole concept of Tumah b'Chiburin is Daraisa, then what's the difference? Either way, then it should apply equally well to the Nazir and the Oisa Pesach. So the Gemara answers, that's not a problem, because you could answer, Kan b'Chiburin Adam, but Adam Kan b'Chiburin Adam b'mes. Because you could say there's a distinction when we talk about Tumah b'Chiburin, we could talk about when one person is touching another one. So suppose you have that, so Levi is touching a mess, Shimon is touching Levi, Reuven is touching Shimon. So there you have, in other words, Reuven is only touching a person. He's not touching somebody who's touching a mess at all. So then you could say that Midaraisa Reuven is Tomei for only the 1 day, and Midarabonin is Tomei for 7 days, and then the Chachamim imposed that only as far as Truma B'Kodshim. But you could be talking about where you have fewer people involved, where Shimon is touching the mess and Reuven is touching him. When there we could say that even midaraisa, Reuven is going to be tummy for 7 days, and that would apply even to Nazir and Oseh Pesach. So now getting back to the point that when we had the Nazir was touching a mess, and then they gave him another mess. And Rabbi Yosef is saying that the chiburin, that when he's touching the mess while he's touching the other one, then he will be high of double malchus. Yes, because we're talking about the case like that. He's touching the mess. And therefore, even though, when he's touching, as long as he's touching the mess, then we say that you have that severe tumah daraisa, where if somebody else touches him, then even daraisa, that other person is going to be tummy for 7 days, and that's going to apply even to Nazir v'Oseh Pesach. So therefore, we have a reason to say that in that case, you shouldn't be getting extra malchus, because he has the maximum possible tumah, not only for himself, but for somebody else as well. But if you let go of the mess, then you could say that he could be getting extra malchus, because now if he touches another mess, again, as long as he's touching that other mess, if somebody else touches him, then you're going to have that severe level of tumah daraisa, that other person is going to become tummy for 7 days, and that's enough to therefore that extra touching of a mess is enough for him to be getting more malchus. And then we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, continuing to discuss this matter of Tumah b'Chiburin and the various other aspects of how a person becomes Tumah.
Yeah.